Again, we welcome you to this service of worship, the Spring 2008 Commencement Ceremony for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. I was warned when we began the process of moving our commencement outdoors that it would be too hot. Little did we know. There are things we control, and there are things we do not control. But we are very, very thankful that we are here together today on this place, this field, this lawn, with these graduates. If we were to move inside, we would lose about two-thirds of you in terms of experiencing this directly. And we do not want to miss any of you, nor for any of you to miss this. This is a great day. It's a day that is a culmination. It's a day that certainly is celebration. I want to publicly thank here today, in a very special way, to thank those who made the logistics of this possible. There were many people who were out long before dawn this morning, making sure that the chairs were dry and that all was set for this occasion. That's just a symbol of what it has taken to bring us to this day in terms of the many years invested by these graduates and this faculty in what comes to a culmination and moment of commencement today. Standing here with colleagues on the platform, I have to tell you that this is a very emotional moment, especially during the processional, watching these graduates come. It is an amazing thing to imagine what the Lord will do through them. This is a reunion of sorts, as every commencement comes to be. We will sing together the seminary hymn shortly. And in the last verse of that hymn, we will sing the words together, "We meet to part, and we part to meet when earthly labors are complete." There is a lot of meeting and a lot of parting that is a part of the Christian ministry. But there is something that takes place in a commencement like this that we ought not to miss. It is a very significant thing that in this reunion we have folks who come back to be with us. Having Dr. Tom Rayner back with us, who was the founding dean of the Billy Graham School, is a very significant thing. Having his own son graduate as a part of this ceremony is an even more significant thing. Having a father and son in Mark and Jedediah Coppinger, you see the succession of Christian ministry, and there are stories connected to every single graduate here assembled before us. You as the family members and friends of those graduates know each of those stories. You know what has brought them to this place, and you share the hopes and what God will do through them as we look to the future. A commencement ceremony is one of those strange intersections of life between beginnings and endings, endings and beginnings. And it's fully fitting and proper that as a Christian institution, we go to the Word of God for our grounding, for our meaning, and for our understanding of the significance of this event. I would invite you to turn in the Scriptures, as you have a copy before you, to the book of Acts, chapter 18. We all need models for ministry. And we should find our most important models in Scripture. And today I want to draw our attention to an often neglected model of Christian ministry, Apollos. We begin reading in chapter 18, verse 24. "Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." Apollos is one of the more unknown characters in the New Testament. An important character and an important model for ministry nonetheless. In the expanse of a few short verses, we come to know a great deal about Apollos and about the Christian ministry. Apollos is, of course, mentioned again, especially in the book of 1 Corinthians. where we see something of what happened when he fulfilled the ministry to which he had been called in Achaia, and especially in the city of Corinth. The background to this is that we know very little about Apollos, but what we know is drawn almost immediately from this text. In verse 24, we are told that he was a Jewish man, an Alexandrian by birth. We understand something of what it was to grow up in the Jewish community in Alexandria. Alexandria in Egypt was a city renowned for its learning. It was a city that considered itself, in many ways, the center of world learning. At the time, it had one of the most massive libraries in the entire ancient world. And the Jews who had collected themselves there together in Alexandria produced some of the most outstanding scholars of human history. Apollos is identified in this text in very specific ways. We are told that he was an eloquent man. The word that is translated eloquent could similarly be translated learned, for learning and eloquence were considered to be one and the same thing in the ancient world, and especially in Alexandria. The key indication here, as Luke writes in the book of Acts, is that Apollos was a man who had the benefit of a very intensive, important, and substantial education. He came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. Now, of all the things that we might want said of us, of all the things that we would want said of these graduates, could we possibly imagine words that would be a more significant ambition than these, to be known as mighty in the Scriptures? The word there is simply powerful, to be powerful in the Scriptures. This tells us a great deal about theological education, and I would wish for us to look first to the goal of theological education. The goal of theological education is reflected right here, that the graduates of this institution would be mighty in the Scriptures. The motto of this institution is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy. It is inscribed in the Greek letters over the doorplace of Norton Hall, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and that the man of God might rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth is of such importance because we understand that that is central and key to Christian ministry. As a part of the graduation pledge that we will recite together later in this ceremony, we will speak of your responsibility to be to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ a competent teacher. In order to be a competent teacher, you must be, we must be, mighty in the Scriptures. We know very little about Apollos, but what we know of him is what is most significant, and that is that this man who spoke boldly and publicly did so because he was grounded in the Scriptures from which he found his power and his authority. This man, according to verse 25, had been instructed in the way of the Lord. It was not that he had been self-taught, he was instructed. The key here is to understand that he was also the beneficiary of what had been invested in him in terms of learning based in the Scriptures. He was, we might understand, mighty in the Scriptures because he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. We also understand that this produced a spirit, an attitude, a commitment in him. He was being fervent in spirit, and it also produced activity. He was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. You know, the purpose of theological education comes down to this, that knowledge and learning would be invested in these graduates, not in order that it would simply reside in them, but that because they would then be mighty in the Scriptures, it would come out of them. That they would be the gifts to Christ's church through which Christ would teach his own. That being mighty in the Scriptures, they would teach and preach the Word of God with a boldness equal to that of Apollos, with a learning equal to that of Apollos, with a commitment to eloquence in terms of presenting the claims of Christ in the truth of the Scripture equal to that of Apollos, with an equal fervency of spirit. We know so little about Apollos, but what we know is so very important. When we just put all of this together, he was an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, instructed in the way of the Lord, fervent in spirit. This produced the fact that he was indeed speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. And that is so very important. Our hope and prayer in these graduates is that each one of them will accurately speak and teach the things concerning Jesus. Jesus. We think of what would be true and tragic if any single one of these graduates were to leave this place, having received this theological education, and speak without accuracy of the things concerning Jesus. For we know that it is not merely a matter of intellect and education and knowledge, it is a matter of life and death. The context of our concern here today is not merely temporal, it is eternal. When we see Apollos here described in this text, we see a picture of what Martin Lloyd-Jones called logic on fire. Knowledge that is energetic and fervent. Knowledge that is contagious. A knowledge of the gospel and a knowledge of Scripture that has so seized the heart of the preacher and the teacher that it will also seize the heart of others. We see here the goal of theological education and what is produced in the life and in the ministry of the graduate. We see the aspiration here that every single one of these graduates would be known not only as a graduate of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, but as one who is mighty in the Scriptures. But even as we see the goal of theological education in this particular passage, we also see the limitations of theological education. There's an amazing candor in this passage. When we look at verse 25, we are told that this man, Apollos, had been instructed in the way of the Lord, that he was fervent in spirit, that he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. But this last phrase is also of utmost importance. He was being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Verse 26 tells us he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. The Southern Baptist Theological Seminary was established in 1859. The vision that founded and animated that institution then is the vision that still establishes and animates this institution now. It is to provide a theological education deeply rooted in conviction, without apology, rooted in the authority and the inerrancy of the Scriptures. A theological education that prepares men and women for ministry in various fields of service in Christ's church. But we need to admit something even as we come to this day of commencement, and that is that your theological education, graduates, is incomplete. Apollos was a man mighty in the Scriptures. He was accurately teaching and speaking the things concerning Jesus. But there were gaps in his theological education, and one of those gaps became glaringly apparent to those who were there in Ephesus who heard him speak of baptism and understood that he did not accurately understand baptism. We have here a rather unique picture of what we might call continuing education in ministry. Priscilla and Aquila took him aside privately and explained to him the way of God more accurately. I can honestly say to you as I stand before you that I have learned far more since I graduated than I knew when I graduated. I can assure you that you will know far more every year than you know now. And you know a great deal. You have a facility in the biblical languages. You have had the benefit of hours and hours and days and months and years of intensive study in the things of God. You've had the blessing of studying with the most outstanding theology faculty to be found on the planet. But your theological education is incomplete. You are launched, as our pledge says, on a lifetime of learning. It has to be that way. But there's something else in this text I hope we would see together, and that is that we learn from the people to whom we minister. One of the strange mysteries of ministry is that we will learn a lot, you will learn a great deal from the people to whom you minister. Even as here Apollos needed to learn something of utmost importance from Priscilla and Aquila. Be ready to learn with an open heart. Be ready to learn, testing all things by Scripture. Be ready to learn far more than you know now in the actual crucible of ministry. This is a beautiful picture. It's another testimony to the fact that the Word of God gives us what we desperately need to know. It is not a public relations treatise for Apollos here. And yet there is a great deal about Apollos in this passage, even in this particular point, that is of importance to us. He obviously received this teaching, this new learning, this correction of his theology with grace and with dignity. And so, by attitude and by conviction, he was commended to the brethren there in Ephesus, so that when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who believed through grace. Make your commitment now that when you leave a place of ministry for another, if the Lord should call you, that those to whom you have ministered for some time will commend you to others. That they will send you on and write to the brethren to whom you now go, preparing the way for your ministry, calling as even the Ephesian brethren did here, for those to whom you go to welcome you, making very clear that you have greatly helped those who believed through grace. There's so much we need to know in ministry. The immediate past Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, was known for perplexing the press by speaking with the jargon of the Department of Defense. Speaking of what was going on in all things military, he said that the military must be ready to deal with known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. Graduates, there are more unknown unknowns than you can imagine. In ministry, you will discover there are more unknown unknowns than you can ever anticipate. But of this you can be sure. The God who called you to ministry and has made possible your theological education, who has spoken to us in His Word and ministers through you to His people, will not leave you with the unknowns unknown. Be prepared to learn, even as you teach and preach and minister. We also see in Apollos the purpose of theological education in terms of faithfulness and power in ministry. In verse 28, we read, "For he," that is Apollos, "when he had arrived there in Achaia, powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah." We were told in the beginning of this short passage that Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures. And now we understand that the word power comes again at the end of this passage, as we are told that he was powerfully demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. We pray that this will be true of your ministry as well. The purpose of theological education is well summarized in this very text, that all that you have learned, all the learning to which you have dedicated yourself, all the learning that has been invested in you and comes to a culmination in this day with the awarding of degrees and the distribution of diplomas, would be in order that you would powerfully demonstrate by the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. In verses 27 and 28, we have such an important reminder of the substance of gospel ministry. At the end of verse 27, we are told that Apollos greatly helped those who had believed through grace. We are told in verse 28 that he powerfully demonstrated by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. This brings us to the sum and substance of the gospel that is your message to all humanity, the gospel that is the foundation of the Christian ministry, the gospel that reminds us that our calling comes to this, that every single human being is a sinner separated from God by sin, that there is absolutely nothing any human being can do to resolve or to solve that problem. There is no righteousness in us whereby we can earn or deserve our salvation. And thus our predicament is helpless, except for the fact that God did and does so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have life everlasting. Your task of Christian ministry is to call persons through the gospel to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to assure those to whom you preach and teach and to whom you share the gospel that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To make very clear God's delight in seeing sinners come to faith through the atoning work of His Son, Jesus Christ. to declare that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, to point to the cross as the place where the sinless Son of God paid the penalty for our sins, such that all who believe in Him might have life and life everlasting. To point to the empty tomb as the vindication of the Christ, and to make very clear that His resurrection is a picture and a promise of what also will be our resurrection unto eternal life for those who come to Christ by faith. Our prayer is that You will greatly help the believers who have believed through grace, and that You also will be powerful in demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. The reality of the ministry of Apollos also reminds us that ministry is an ongoing challenge. It reminds us that we have, in every generation and in a single ministry, a responsibility to begin some things, to continue others, and never to bring anything to final conclusion. This is an unusual calling. We understand by the time we get to Paul's letter to Corinth that even as Apollos had indeed gone to Corinth to minister, as he had been commended by the Ephesians to the Corinthians, as he had gone and as he ministered so powerfully in demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, that even in Corinth there had nonetheless developed, perhaps even because of his eloquence and because of the power of his personal projection of these truths, there had developed parties within the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul speaks lamenting of the fact that there are parties now involved. There are some who claim to be of Apollos, some of Paul, some of Cephas, and even some of Christ. Paul corrects the Corinthians by asking, has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul had to clarify for the Corinthians, and again, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he clarifies for us in this generation of ministers that we are not to develop parties unto ourselves. The congregation is not to think that it is gathered in our name. And we are to be reminded, even as Paul reminded the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that instead we are those who work in a field with others to the glory of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are Christ's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. You know, this is so important that we understand that in this gathering of graduates, there are some who are planters. Some of you will go out to start what does not yet exist, to plant churches, to plant work, to go to a place where a congregation does not exist in order that you would be used of God to begin it. Others are not planters, they are tillers, waterers. They are those who go to an existing work and build upon that work. We understand that there was a role for Paul in Corinth, even as there was a role for Apollos, and Paul helps us to understand that it isn't about Paul, and it isn't about Apollos. It is all about Christ, and it is all for Christ's people. I planted, Paul writes. Apollos watered. But God was causing the growth. In some ways, this ceremony today is all about you, graduates. And in another sense, it's not about you at all. In some sense, it's about this institution. But in a greater sense, it's not about the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary at all. It's about the glory of God in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about God watering and God planting through you to His glory. It's about persons who will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord through you. It is about saints who will be built up in the faith, churches that will be built up in the Scriptures. It is about ministry. And ministry is all about giving. And in a sense, a very important sense, you have given yourselves already to this calling. And God is now giving you to Christ's church. You have been gifts to this seminary. And now, in a very real and poignant sense, you are our gifts to this world. We have in the model of Apollos a model for Christian ministry, unlike that we find anywhere else in Scripture. We find in Apollos a worthy model for our emulation, those of us who are graduates and those of us who are about to become graduates and those of us all who serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the four founding faculty members of Southern Seminary was John A. Broaddus, who taught preaching, wrote the most influential book on preaching published in the English language. John A. Broaddus, in one of the very last lectures he ever delivered to the students of this seminary, said that his one and only ambition is that they would be found, in the end, mighty in the Scriptures, as was Apollos. So, by the grace of God, may be you. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful that you've given us the model of Apollos, among so many others in the New Testament, as worthy of our emulation as Christian ministers. Father, as our hearts today are drawn to what you are doing in your church, and will do through these graduates, we come with rejoicing, with thanksgiving, with tremendous hope, and unspeakable expectation. Father, reveal your glory to your church and to the world. Through them we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.